Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, beloved friends, on this Saturday morning, February 20th, 2021. Welcome to the with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And that was Ride on King Jesus, one of my favorite all-time gospel hymns sung by the Howard University Community Choir. You can find that on YouTube. I had that on my heart this morning because there's just so much going on in our country, in our society, in our world right now. So devastating, so appalling, so outrageous, so incredible. I needed those comforting, soothing, reassuring words this morning because Satan is so busy, and we are truly, I believe, on the threshold of just the end of this world as we know it. And of course, we know as Christians that, you know, there is the other side in eternity, excuse me, in glory with the Lord. So that's what we're holding on to. And again, we think it's King Jesus, our Lord and Savior, riding on and riding on through all the storms, through all the pain, through all the tragedy, through all the calamity. Ride on, King Jesus. No man can hinder the will of God, the plans and purpose of God. Thank you for being here this morning. Today's show is entitled Courageous Christians During COVID-19, during this whole pandemic era since it started in March of 2020. I wanted to focus on that in a positive way. We're also in Black History Month, and that is one of the reasons why I did choose to start with Ride on King Jesus as one of the foundational, I would say, hymns, gospel music as we know it. You know, it really just speaks to the hope and the promise that we receive from our Lord as we go through various trials and tribulations here on earth. Then thinking about these courageous Christians, you know, it comes to mind, and this ties into our people of influence, definitely the first responders who are on the front lines, the essential workers in the medical profession especially, who really put themselves at higher risk every day as they help to provide care services to those who have the virus or other underlying conditions. And so obviously that increases their exposure, but they go out there and they continue to do the work that they are assigned to do, and in many cases called to do, those who are Christians in that field. And then we have, of course, those who are on the front lines, the forefront of the resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement, especially during last summer. And albeit, you know, endeavoring to still follow and enforce social distancing and PPE protocols that are highly encouraged and in many cases required during this pandemic era, still realizing the significance of the movement and its impact on the world through the peaceful protests, through the other efforts, you know, aimed at calling attention to the injustices that take place. Also, you know, during this time, Courageous Christians is speaking out in general in reference to the gospel and how the gospel is the healing medicine of this country and of this world as it relates to the pandemic to the division and the strife, even the natural disasters, the climate, and that not that there aren't practical things that we can do, because there are, but ultimately, when it comes down to it, the deliverance from, you know, conditions that are pervasively disturbing, it can only come through the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, right, will humble themselves and seek my face, I will heal their land. So those who have been bold and brave enough to speak out and say, we need the Lord, that's the bottom line. Everybody needs to humble themselves and surrender. Ultimately, everybody will anyway. But oh, how much better it would be for us now, here and now on earth, if we would all come together in that way. And this profound proclamation during this time, because there are some people who don't want to hear it in their own obstinance. They still refuse to declare Jesus Christ as sovereign. And that's unfortunate, because that is a part of the perpetuation of this, you know, living nightmare, if you will. So today, though, I want to just really center on, again, not only the courageous Christians that we have seen at work over the last year in our behalf and in the name of Jesus, but also how we ourselves can be courageous Christians during this time, and what are our ways that we can show that we are standing up for the Lord. I'll get to that toward the end of our show. But again, I've cited people of influence, those who there have even been some celebrities who have come forth, you know, in claiming their Christian stance. And although there may be some dissension in terms of how Christians see or approach certain issues or topics, if you will, in terms of viewpoint. But the bottom line is that we lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, some things are very clear cut, you know, in the Bible. And there really is, you know, very little ways to have a dispute on certain issues and topics. But there are some others that really come down to Holy Spirit discernment, and people are at different places with that in their lives. But ultimately, drawing people unto Jesus Christ and his glory and his majesty is what, you know, keeps us going. It's our lifeline. It's how we are sustained, you know, as a people, because we were created by him in his image. I do want to first give praises to the Lord. I reside outside of the Memphis area, and we, you know, were hit with a massive snowstorm last week, this past week, unlike any other ever experienced. Homes without heat, homes without power, water shortages, you name it, just total and utter
devastation in the area, 6 to 8 inches in some places, below freezing temperatures. So many things have been shut down this week. I praise God that I have heat and water and hot water and all of that in this house. I thank the Lord. It's really truly of the grace of God. And I praise God that my son is okay where he is in the New Jersey area. My parents, my sisters and their husbands, my brothers-in-law, others that I've heard and talked to. But there are still prayers needed. And for those who remain without heat and power, definitely. And I have cousins in Texas, and just I've heard about the, you know, stories there, horrific incidents of death, and as a result of hypothermia and other, you know, conditions. There are homeless people out there right now needing a place to go. They've erected tents and stuff and such, just trying to have, you know, trying to survive. And, you know, definitely prayers for them during this time. Prayers for the hearts of individuals who are hardened toward God. And if your heart is hard toward people, your heart is hard toward God, right? Because basically the commandments, they can all be summed up into two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And then love your neighbor as yourself. It was clearly asked of Jesus Christ, well, who is my neighbor? And he gave the Good Samaritan story. Your neighbor is whomever you come across, right? So if someone has hatred or bitterness or bigotry or prejudice or anything in their heart toward a person or a group of people or whatever, then they can't love God. They don't love God. They may think they love God, but they don't. So those individuals need prayer. Also need prayer. We have been told in my particular school district here, we are going back into the schools on Monday. The students will be coming back a couple of weeks thereafter in March. But just needing prayer about that whole situation. Many people are uncomfortable. Some are even refusing to go back because of concerns, you know, very valid, legitimate health concerns. Vaccinations have started here for teachers, but there's still a long way to go with it. And it's just a lot at stake. We still have deaths. We still have cases. You know, relatively high numbers, even though they're significantly lower, drastically lower than they were earlier, you know, in the winter, latter fall, but still. We just need prayer about the whole situation. I know God's will is going to prevail, and I have security and blessed assurance in that. But there is still, you know, definitely some angst and great apprehension around that, the return. So prayers for district superintendent, all the teachers and staff in the school district, as we prepare to move forward. So let's have prayer. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord, first of all, for just your life-sustaining blood in us, your life-sustaining breath. Thank you, Lord, that you ride on, you know, through whatever, come what may, you ride on, and we are right there cheering you on and rallying you on. We know that you are the ultimate conqueror and of all evil. And so, Lord, we just look towards you. We behold you. It says that you're riding the word of God on Palm Sunday. It says that you are riding through all the people, you know, are welcoming you, King Jesus. And we echo that as you parade, Lord. We just give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, thank you. Thank you for providing heat and water and shelter for me during this time. For those I know, loved ones and friends, I pray, Lord, for those who are not, who are going through these horrific challenges right now in terms of basic needs. Lord, I just pray for provision. I pray for your peace, Lord. I pray that you would just place them where they need to be so that they can be well and safe. Lord, I just ask right now that you cover this whole situation with your love and power and intervention, divine intervention, Lord. I ask right now that you be with those whose hearts are turned away from you, Lord, those who believe their hearts are committed to you, but they aren't, Lord, because of their bitterness or hatred or whatever is in their hearts, Lord, that is contrary to your word. Help them, Lord. Help the ones who have been misled, Lord, and misguided, and who are misinterpreting basically contorting your word by excusing and justifying what they do because they know you love them. We know that your love for us is no excuse to defy your word, because our love for you should mean that we are going to adhere to your word, and we don't twist your word to suit our own desires. Lord, just help those individuals, because that is not a good place to be. That is not where you want us to be in our relationship with you. But you want us to be obedient, Lord. You want us to adhere to your word in every way, because your word is your will for our lives. And Lord, Father, I pray right now for those all across the nation, teachers, students, parents, in these various situations with the schools, Lord, you know what is going on with the virus right now. In some cases, schools are being forced to reopen buildings and students are coming in, and we know that is going to increase the case numbers. We hope and pray that there isn't another spike or other spikes around the country due to this forced return, but Lord, we know you're in control. We just pray. I pray for the anointing and covering over myself and over others at this time. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. So I want to talk about first reading some scripture verses on courage. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. 1 Corinthians 16:13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I love that scripture verse. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Then David said to Solomon his son, be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. Hallelujah. John 16:33. I have said these things to you. Then you may, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Psalm 31:24. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Mark 5:36, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Psalm 112:7, he is not afraid of bad news, his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Philippians 1:28. Do not be frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign of them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. 1 Kings 22:13. Now, this is the critical scripture verse here. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed. I'd like to do a study on the number of times that phrase, fear not, is in the Bible, because I believe it is quite a few times, especially in the Old Testament, when God was speaking to directly to the people of Israel about their conditions. Matthew 10:16-20. Behold, this is Jesus speaking. I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Wow. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say you will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. And I think of that as so analogous or representative or symbolic of really the call of the modern day civil rights leaders, right? Because they were sent by God to, right, as sheep. The modern day civil rights movers, modern-day civil rights leaders who were the movers and shakers of reformations, dramatic historical reformations during that time. But they were sheep. They were meek. They were among wolves, right? People on the prowl, people waiting to attack, that were representative of wolves. They said be wise, and so that means that they had to be always forever thinking ahead of the opposition, right, or the other side, but innocent as doves. So not seeking retaliation, revenge, reprisal, none of that. It says, beware of men, other people, delivering you over, dragging you before others, bearing with it. and it says governors and kings. But in the modern day civil rights era, right, that looked like Supreme Court, state level Supreme Court justices, council people, mayors, governors who, you know, condoned propagated these types of, you know, appalling laws. I said to bear witness before them. Bearing witness of what? The word of God and what the truth of the word of God says. It says, when they deliver you over, do not be anxious about what you will say, because the Spirit of your Father will speak through you. And I just wanted to highlight that, because when I think about that, it's something that is most relevant to our recent times. That is what I think of. Or you could, you know, equate it to Mohandas K. Gandhi in Britain with that, you know, quest for freedom. You can equate it to a lot of other situations, but here in our country, that's what comes to mind for me. Psalm 16:8, I have set the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Psalm 27:1 of David, the Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 56:3, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And then verse 4, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Isaiah 12:2, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Daniel 3:16-18, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, this is critical. I'm going to address this. O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. It's powerful there. Three verses of scripture is a powerful message for our lives. Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. St. Chronicles 32:7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of dismay, for the king of Assyria and all the horde that is with him, for there are more with us than with him. Proverbs 24:10, if you faint the day of adversity, your strength is small. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Matthew 14:29, he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord in strength, seek his presence continually. Ezra 10:4, arise, for it is your task, and we are with you. Be strong and do it. Joshua 10:25, and Joshua said to them, do not be afraid or dismayed, be strong and courageous, for this Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Yes, we are of good courage, and we'd rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. 10:12. Be of good courage, and let us be courageous for our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what seems good to him. So, when I think about courageous Christians during this pandemic era, or just this era in general that we're in right now, I think about courage even within our own lives to brace up
against that which we dislike occurring in our lives. And let me give you an example. I guess one of the best ways that I can convey it or put it in terms that are relatable. The Walmart checkout line, right? So, and most people, unless they're getting, numerous items like 50, 60, or, just a family of five are getting three, four, something. Most people just go through the self-checkout, right? And sometimes that line can get long because it varies in there. I mean, when they first came out with those, it was, 10 items or less, and people really were using it in that way. But now people could have 20, 30 items or whatever. So it varies depending upon how long you're going to wait, what time of day it is, if it's a weekend, et cetera. So you have two options of how you're going to wait in that checkout line. You could wait with patience, or you could wait with impatience. And again, I go back to Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And the sense in which David is using the word courage in that scripture verse, not how we would normally look at courage, is like valor, it's like going out before war and conquering. Yes, that is a definition of courage. But another definition of courage, where he is using it in this context of, like, he says, be strong, a strength, an internal strength that draw upon from the Lord, right? So, again, you could wait patiently. You could look at the different magazines on the counters, or, you could think about something pleasant, something you're going to do later that day. You could people watch, you could whatever. Start a conversation with the person in line, in front of you or behind you, socially distanced with the mask on, of course. But, there are things that you're thinking about. What else can I do with this time while I'm in this line? Make a to-do list for later in my phone, whatever. Or you could wait impatiently. You could tap your foot. You could sigh. You could get angry inside. You call somebody and say, oh, this stupid line, all these stupid people, and what are they doing out? And they're probably thinking, what are you doing out? And, you could do that, which just makes you more upset. Whoever you're calling, if they answer, probably doesn't want to hear it. They've got things going on in their lives. But anyway, which one is going to make the time go by quicker? The patient wait or the impatient wait? Obviously, the patient wait, right? And some of us have experienced this. We've been at a traffic light waiting, and we stop and we look and start daydreaming or whatever. And next thing you know, the person behind us is honking because the light has changed fast. Seems like it changes fast when you occupy your mind with something else. When you're sitting there waiting, looking at it, it can take forever, right? It's just kind of, there's a psychology, in that. But anyway, my point is that it takes more strength to wait patiently than it does to wait impatiently. Waiting impatiently is giving into flesh, is giving into the it's all about me. Waiting patiently is an acceptance of, it's part of that serenity prayer, right? Acceptance of things you cannot change. You're waiting, right? Because other people are in front of you. Now, I've had the experience, and I've had it quite frequently since the pandemic, surprisingly, but I may have had one or two items. And the person in front of me, who I know had been waiting longer because they were in front of me, Go ahead and just have one or two items. And I did really want to take it out. I kind of felt a little bad at first. I was like, no, I shouldn't. And they were like, no, it really is okay. And I don't know. That was just really meaningful to me, and special that they would do that. So you never know when your time is going to come to, you know, get up there and pay for your items and be able to leave. But I say that to say, when we think about that as it relates to all aspects of our lives, maybe a certain job you want to get or a certain position you want to get into, or you may want to be married or want a relationship, want whatever it may be, right? I think that when we look at it in terms of, okay, God knows the appointment. He knows when the time will come when it'll actually be like the very moment, our time for the job, our time for the relationship or the marriage. And because his timing is perfect and divinely orchestrated, we shouldn't question that. You know what I mean? So, what happens is some people just get out of line and put their items back because they don't want to wait. And that could look like the person who just gives up, stops applying for the job, you know, stops believing that, you know, a woman stops believing that the man of God she wants to be with is out there. Or, you know, that does happen sometimes, or sometimes there's the impatient wait and, you know, you're ugly with people or snappy with people, or you withdraw, whatever, because something in your life isn't going the way you want it to go. Or there's the one who it just seems like they're going to smile no matter what. No matter what is going on in life, they're going to smile and they're going to be happy because the joy of the Lord is what they're centering on. No matter what else is going on around them, they're centering on the joy of the Lord, and that's truly keeping them. That is truly the core of their strength and the core of their ability to press on in life. So I said, you know, courage, true courage in that sense, you know, the strength to move forward even when your circumstances aren't what you desire them to be, to move forward and to wait with positivity. That is a form of courage. That is a form of strength, because it's so much easier to be ugly with people around you. You know, misery loves company. It's so much easier to just fly off the handle and complain. It's so much easier just give in to those fleshly tendencies, right? Or to just make a dumb decision and go deal with somebody or go to a job that you know you really don't want. It's not, you know, your number one choice, or get into a relationship and it's not really what you want. It's so much easier to go with the fleshly response, to just get some temporary satisfaction or do something to be doing it. But the true courage lies within the wait. So even now, look at this situation, and God is clearly angry. Right? I mean, you have the pandemic that shut stuff down. Now we have record, you know, snowfalls across the country that's shutting things down. And I'm not talking about just shutting down businesses. I'm talking about shutting off water, shutting off heat, shutting off, you know, just all kinds of
you know, preposterous, outrageous situations that God is allowing. And God's allowing it because God's fed up. And not that God's fed up in the human sense of getting fed up, because God is, eternally gracious and merciful. But, I mean, in terms of God's wrath at, you know, how disobedient as a people that we have been, and complacent and dismissive of him and what he wants. And he created us and he created this world. And I just feel like God is just, it's just enough is enough. And he wants us to know, look, I can and I will put a stop to things if you don't listen, if you don't heed, acknowledge, if you don't surrender. I will put a stop to it. And even this weekend, you know, here in Memphis, restaurants are not delivering. Many of them are not even open. MOGNW, our electric and water supply company, says that they, you know, don't know if things will even be back on track until next week, not wanting people to really take, you know, showers. It's just, or taking short showers, not wanting people to overuse water, definitely not any baths. It's just, it is really a, just, you know, unbelievable time. But understand, this is when we've got, everybody wants to be out of this. They want to be out of these situations. They want to be out of the pandemic. They want to be out of this, you know, these snowstorm repercussions. They want to be out of this. They want to be out of that. They just want to get back to their lives and what they do. But I'm telling you, God is in control of this whole situation. And he's going to allow what he believes needs to be allowed to wake people up. And that's just the bottom line. So we have to wait on God to say this is done or that's done. And we don't know when it will be. But I know this. I know that a lack of attention to God, lack of attention to God, has ramifications we don't want to see. And some of them we're actually seeing right now. And we've been seeing consistently throughout the last year. So again, friends, strong, courageous. It's not just, that's a huge part of it. And that's why I acknowledged that at the beginning of our show. But it's inward. How are you waiting? How are we waiting? Ladies, those of us who are single, desiring a companion, wanting it, how are we waiting? Are we waiting? Anticipating waiting? Because anticipatory waiting, it always has a positive connotation. Anxious waiting does not. Anxious waiting, we don't feel well. We're constantly complaining or griping or obsessing. And the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, make your requests made known to the Lord, and the peace of God will cover you, will get you through that time. Guard your heart and mind, right? So we got to wait on God because God knows. And here's the other thing. we're really waiting on Him. We're really waiting for the Lord, ultimately. And I say waiting for the Lord for eternity as the bride of Christ to be delivered from this, you know, world into everlasting glory with Him. And so, yes, on this side, that could be a blessing that the Lord has for us in our lives, that specific blessing. But it may not be. We don't know. And I believe God wants us to know that. Those are the surprise blessings He wants to bring into our lives. But it's our job. We can petition the Lord and pray, as is in the Bible, for things that are on our heart and let God lead in that direction if that is what God so desires for us, right? This is not easy, but I can tell you from personal experience. The impatient, the anxious waiting does not yield anything good. It does not yield anything that you want to experience. Only the patient waiting. Only the patient waiting. And the patient waiting doesn't mean you won't have moments where you feel very distraught. I think of Hannah from the Bible and her prayer about a child from her womb. Doesn't mean that you won't down at times, need a pick-me-up. But you turn to God and you say, God, help me, help me, help me. Be of good courage. Take strength in the Lord. Help me, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me to wait on You. Help me to be faithful. Help me to be trusting. Help me to be, you know, all of these things. Just go back to God again and again and again and again. But stop looking around you. Stop trying to focus on what isn't there and focus on who is there, which is God. So I just want to leave you with that today as it relates to courageous Christians and finding courage. See, it's a courage that people don't, they wouldn't call it courage per se. You look at some people like, how are they so calm? And so says that they don't have a husband. They're not married. You know, they don't have anybody. Courage. I've got courage, though. I've got courage. And courage will get you through times like this. Courage will have you looking at circumstances like this and just, you know that God is still in the midst and at work. So there's a peace in your heart and you don't get anxious because you know that God's will is going to prevail and He's always there. I want to leave you with, if you have not had the opportunity to go to CNN, has some great Black History Facts out there that I've been following since the month of February started. Better Homes and Gardens has some great Black History Facts out there. History.com. So there are a lot of different websites. I encourage you to go there. Go to those websites and look up these important American history facts that involve African Americans, Black people in America. It's American history or world history. Amen. Also, they've got some great documentaries out there as well. I watched the Black Church, This Is My Story, This Is My Song, Henry Louis Gates Jr. of Harvard, Skip Gates. One of his documentaries he produced. Excellent. Excellent. And there are a couple of others, so I would encourage you to watch his documentaries. very informative, very educational, and also entertaining. There are other movies and films, many based on true stories, that are out there on Amazon Prime now and Netflix. As we go into the last week of Black History Month. But I do want to thank you for joining me in our show today. Again, the world is just a different world now. And I remember that show when it started as a spinoff of The Cosby Show when I was a very young child. I think it was in middle school at that time. And by the time I graduated from high school, it was going off the air. But, you know, I do remember watching it and wondering, being so excited about getting to college as I watched that show. Myself being in junior high or whatever it was, we called it at that time. And, you know, a different world. It was always something that you, you know, positively, you know, looked forward to and wanted that time, you know, in your life to come. I wanted that time in my life to come. But now we're in a time where we didn't, you know, want any of this. No one did. But, you know, it is here. And we do live in a different world now. I believe ever since 9/11, you know, at the start of the millennium, we've, you know, really lived in a different world. And I was a very young, very, very young person at that time, early 20s. My son was just born. But, you know, we need to, in this different world in which we're living, that the Lord has allowed certain events to take place, to occur, certain incidents to transpire. We need to be positioned where we can still be blessed by God and bless those around us. That is what we are called to do. Let's just lift up the Lord, friends. Let's just keep beholding Him and lifting Him up during this time, making sure that we are where we are supposed to be, where He is telling us to be. Because that's what really matters. Ultimately, that is what matters. I love you. Thank you for joining me today. I hope this show has blessed many individuals. I hope that you will share this show with others. We are all, again, you know, in a time right now where we need to come together and be united, but it will only work in the Lord, because in Him we live and move and have our being. He made us, right? He made us, so He knows all about us, and He knows what's going to help us get through this time. So I pray for you this week. Go out with someone who needs it. All right. God bless. Thank you.